Hey, everybody. It's the Nate Darling Show. Sort of like a magical mystery show. Hey, sorry about the non-traditional intro, but my tablet isn't working right, so we don't have the show intro, but we're doing a show for you because that's what we do.
Isn't it Google's fault that we don't have it?
You know, I'm going to blame it on the app.
Okay.
More so than the...
The Google. Makes sense.
Because Google's listening.
Always listening.
Google knows.
They
are. Because I'll get things on my phone that says about the time I normally leave for work or leave for home from work. Tells me how long the commute is and how much longer than normal. It knows I'm going home.
Thanks, Google.
They know you're going home. So there's that.
And it knows. So it knows where you live. It knows where you work.
Yeah, it does.
And how long? Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And I don't have it listed as home on anything because you should never list home. By the way, here's a tip for you.
Mm.
Your GPS that you put in your car, don't ever list home as home.
Oh.
Because then if somebody steals your car, your GPS, if they steal your car, of course, they can just look in the glove box and find your registration and figure that out. But, yeah.
Not if you don't keep it updated.
I'll put top secret weasel farm.
Mm.
Radioactive weasel farm.
Yeah.
That would be a safe ruse. Becca's grooving.
Can't blame her. Hey, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk a little Kanye.
Yay!
we're going to talk about a strip club owner who bought the house next door to his ex-wife, what he put out on the front lawn.
Boo. Nothing good.
And a big kerfuffle at Costco involving the Bible.
Oh, God.
Exactly, Ted. You've encapsulated it.
That's like ice, yeah. I'm sure Rush Limbaugh had a lot to say about this, too.
I don't know.
He rustled papers
I didn't check in.
And farted in the microphone.
I did not check in with Rush Limbaugh on this. I was like, you know what? We don't need to check in with Rush Limbaugh that often. I just said every now and then we should check in with people like that. Right. Every now and then I'll throw on the O'Reilly factor just to hear what he's bloviating about.
Sadly, he's like the relative voice of reason amongst the blowhard, isn't he?
That's why he's so dangerous, is every so often he says something where you're like, oh, that's right.
That's true.
Yeah. And you got to keep an eye on Bill O'Reilly, though, because every book he writes has killing in the title.
Yeah.
What's
up with that?
Just wanted to, I'm wearing my Donut Dash t-shirt, and I want to bring it up because, well, for a couple of reasons. I just before we went on a little unexpected hiatus because my dad's health problems, I ran my first 5K.
Woo!
Yay!
Did the run-in for Rhett in Sacramento.
Rhett.
Are you doing one this week?
I am doing if you're listening to this on Friday, I'm doing a turkey trot tomorrow in Prunedale with Hootie. And I'm doing the Flapjack 5K in East Sac in December.
Nice.
So come and do that. But here's the thing. The Donut Dash opened up registration on Monday. It was the first day of registration, and I happened to have my Facebook open, and I saw it, and I immediately went and registered. And it turns out I was the first one to register this year.
You got a free orange hat.
The first 50 people get a free hat.
Oh, man, I wish I'd known.
They're already done. Oh, I know. Wow. They got 50 people the first day.
Well,
ooh.
If I know there's a hat involved, I would have been...
And it's orange.
Well, free is the operative word.
It is.
No, orange is the operative word.
Free. All right. We're from very different faiths, Becca. Well, it's free.
Luckily, it's free and orange, so we can agree.
Best of both worlds.
If you'd like a hat, you can buy one, I believe, for $8 when you sign up.
See, that's not free.
But you're going to be like bib number one. That's awesome.
I don't know that I will be, because I'm not running the competitive part of it.
I'm starting a Twitter campaign.
But
Nate's number one.
What I didn't realize was last year, I was the second person to register.
Oh.
Did you get a free hat last year, too?
Well, if you recall, I couldn't do the run.
I don't recall anything.
Because my mom passed away last year.
But you registered.
I registered beforehand.
So did you get the hat is my question.
No, there were no hats last year, Ted.
Oh.
This is a new
thing.
Okay, last year you got ducks. Remember, we registered in the top 50 last year. We got ducks.
You got ducks for the Duck Dash.
What is...
So that's going on March 8th. So there is a team. So if you're listening to the show and you want to sign up for the Donut Dash, join a team. Join the Nate Darling Show team. And come and hang out with us.
We're the cool people.
Yeah, we had fun. Christiana and I danced in the parking lot last year.
We did. We did the shuffle. I can't remember what it's called.
I don't know what that's called. The
truffle shuffle?
Nope.
No.
Not
it's
that?
Like,
after four donuts or whatever.
Slide something.
No, it wasn't.
Electric boogaloo.
No, it's that one that's like, one stomp this time, yeah. Two stomps this time. Oh, now go to work.
Oh, it was
take
the
it back now, y'all.
You did the yeah. cha-cha slide.
Cha-cha slide. Yeah. Something slide.
Yeah, we did that with Thomasina.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
We'll do it again this year.
It's a slide.
Sure I was there too.
So yeah, go ahead and register for that. It's a great cause, and
there are donuts.
Yeah, and if you can't run, you can go ahead and donate. Donate to the cause.
It's a good cause.
So if you happen to be outside of Sacramento and you can't make it here for the race, but you want to support, go ahead and log on to donutdash.org, and you can make a donation there. So that's how you can help out. It's the Child Life Program at Sutter Health, and they do all sorts of cool things to help kids in the hospital feel like they're just normal kids.
Can you sponsor our team, or is it just donations that you give to the...
You can make it through the team, yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure if you want to sponsor our team specifically, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, you can go ahead and do that. So.
Yay, thanks everyone.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. As part of my goal, and I think I mentioned this before on the show, I'll be running at least one race per month of 5K or more in calendar year 2014.
Those are cool.
And I started early. So I started the first Sunday in November and did the run-in for Rhett in Sacramento. So I got two in November, one in December. I have one that I haven't signed up for yet in January because it's in San Francisco. And then I got to find one in February. March is the Donut Dash. And I want to go down to do... There's a 5K at Angel Stadium. It starts in the parking lot, goes around Anaheim, and then back in, and you finish on the warning track inside Angel Stadium. So that's kind of what I want to do at the end of March. And then from there. So... Yeah, get out there and have fun, people. Do your thing, whatever it might be. Doesn't have to be running; it can be walking, biking,
skipping, prancing, mm-hmm. hopping,
sure. whatever makes you happy.
Losing.
Getting carried by a
large bodyguard.
Yeah, if you're Bieber, you can.
Oh God!
Call back to last show.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
I'm judging.
So maybe Bieber had plantar fasciitis. Do you think
that's really painful? So.
I know. Yeah. I have it right now, and I just realized maybe Bieber has it too. And I'm sorry, Biebs.
Are you doing the golf ball massage?
No, but I just ordered a really super sexy plantar fasciitis night splint through the NateDarlingShow.com. And and so I'm sure Ted is really looking forward to cuddling up to me wearing that in bed every night.
It's like foot lingerie. Or like S&M gear for your foot, maybe?
Something like that, yeah. It's like bondage for your foot.
That's how we roll.
First, I spent a bunch of money on better shoes, but it turns out that better shoes only go so far when your foot is already effed up. So.
Right. Yeah. I should bring you my little, I have a little massage ball thing. You can use a golf ball, but I bought a little nubby thing. And
I have
that
one of
always
those.
Helped to, you massage your foot. You just kind of roll your, take it to work. You're sitting at your desk and just.
Nice.
Yeah, it's called foot rubs with a Z.
Ooh. Ooh, with a Z.
That makes it cool.
Yeah, I have one
makes
of those.
It zippy.
Or you can throw a dish towel down there and use your toes to scrunch it all up.
Ooh.
And then pull it out and scratch
it. A lot about foot care.
How many embarrassing things can I order through the Nate Darling Show? Because I know that Nate always looks at these things and I get.
Somebody already ordered a butt plug. So
yeah, but I have no idea who orders what. That's the thing. I see what gets ordered.
But you can guess sometimes, right?
I'm pretty sure you didn't order the video games that got ordered this time.
I didn't.
So there were three different video games that were ordered. So
I ordered one of them, I think. It wasn't for me, though.
There you go. So there's a lot of that stuff that goes on. I see what gets ordered, but I have no idea who ordered it.
Okay.
So don't feel shy about that.
I felt embarrassed about ordering geriatric foot splints through your organization, but I do it for the good of the show.
And for your foot.
Well, that too.
So we were talking between shows about, and I don't know how it came, we were talking about weird things, and the phrase "piece of my heart" came up. And we, of course, all recognize the Janis Joplin song, which is a classic, very classic. It's got the guitar to it and...
Undeniable.
Listen to her vocals as they come in here in a second.
That was not her. That was me.
No. Here it is. And you can feel the passion and the pathos in her voice.
Honey, you know I did. And each time I tell myself,
I think this is the one. I mean, she had a few hits, but this is the one I usually think of when I think Janis Joplin.
Yeah, this. Yeah, probably this is her most signature song.
So this is a song. That's a song of a woman who's had her heart ripped out by a man, right?
Literally. Yeah, more than one.
Well,
and possibly a lady.
You know Faith. You know Faith Hill, who's married to Tim McGraw.
Yeah,
not personally.
Sexy blonde lady. Well, she did this song too. Slightly different feel to it, though, as you can tell by the
so bouncy.
It is. It's very bouncy. The first time I heard this, I yelled at my radio. Not a lot of pathos in this. And didn't I give you everything that a woman possibly can? Wasn't I awesome?
She means sex.
Yeah. Each time
I tell myself, I think I've had enough. That's a good clarification.
She means sex.
For those who don't know. I'm gonna show you, baby, that a woman can be tough. So come on, come on, come
on, and take another little piece of my heart now, baby. At that point, I started yelling at my radio.
Yeah.
You just don't get it.
No.
That's like, you radio.
And that goes back to, again, what we were talking about last show, why I don't like to argue via text, because you can have the exact same words on the page and read them completely differently.
That is true. This is kind of an aside, but you know how you were talking about Janis Joplin and like just like kind of the raw emotion of that song and just how she just puts everything into that song. Today I was driving to work and I heard Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. And it was like I'd never heard it before. Like, I really listened to it. And he's amazing. And why don't I listen to more Bruce Springsteen? It just caught me off guard on the radio. And it was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't listen to more Bruce Springsteen. You should. I mean,
I should. I, like...
really should.
I know. Do we have any?
Spotify might have one or two.
Oh, I have...
Nate has it.
He puts everything into this song. It's, like, sexy and heartfelt and... full of like this energy of youth and has this like Phil Spector wall of sound. Oh, it's so good. I never noticed till today.
And this is a live version, of course. I love how the audience did the whole whoa part. Bruce Springsteen, one of the artists I have not yet seen live that I would like to see.
Yeah.
Who is still touring, while he's still touring, because I think it would be very cool since you brought it up. This is Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band live in New York City, which is a double album, which I got on Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. And by the way, if you're into music and you get like the hard copy of something, whether it be the vinyl or the CD, a lot of their albums, they have the auto rip. So while you get shipped the thing, you can immediately download the MP3s, which is a really cool bonus thing. So you want to check that out. And remember, whenever you're shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com, you help support the show and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So this holiday season, please go ahead and do that. Not only that, encourage your friends and neighbors to do it as well.
Yeah.
Even if they don't listen to the show, you should be telling them to listen to the show. But if they're like, I don't understand podcast, what's that? Is that like a hard-boiled egg?
It's nothing like that.
Exactly.
Old person.
We know that.
Jeez, Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob.
You can order, if, no matter what ailment you have, Amazon might be the place to
That's
go.
True.
Or it's plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't have health insurance, you have Amazon. So you self-diagnose with WebMD, and then you order whatever you need on Amazon at a discount. That's been my plan for the last 7 years.
There you go.
So Woo-hoo. We until Obama made us get insurance.
Yeah.
I know, you guys. Bomba. I'm gonna have insurance. I think I'm so excited. I submitted my application today.
Well, you better have. It's the law.
Well, Bomba. In fairness, I had to wait 3 days because they were closed for maintenance. But sure. They opened it up again this morning at Monday at 6 a.m.
Just like them.
But you know what? The funny thing happened was that I had some questions about. It says if you lie on your application, 4 years in prison. That's what it says, right? If you lie about the size of your household or how much money you make. So I was trying to figure out if Ted and I are a household because. You know, like we live together, but we don't really pool our money. Like, you know, are we a household? Are we not? We don't file taxes together. You know, I wasn't sure. And so I didn't want to get 4 years in prison. So I call the Obamacare hotline and you have to wait. You wait like 15 minutes maybe. And then an expert answers the phone and it's this guy. And he's like, hey, how can I help you? And I'm like, OK, here's my dilemma. You know, what am I legally? Am I a household of one or two? And he was like, oh, you know, whatever you want to put down is fine. Like, you know, however you want to do it. And I was like, do you know that it says that if I answer this wrong, it's punishable by 4 years in prison? And he's like, does it? And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's just for minorities and poor people, sweetheart.
And so, you know, he was kind of like, well, why not just make it match your taxes? Like, whatever you do on your that sounds right. And I'm like, okay. And I hung up and I realized I should have, like, taken his name down so he could testify at my trial before I go to prison for 4 years.
Well, to be fair, I believe these are temporary workers that are slightly less trained than TSA agents. So,
right.
If you go to prison, you'll get health insurance. Then
that's true.
You're
oh, don't you
that's
feel kind
of bad making fun of TSA agents now that one of them got shot
no.
and died?
Nope.
I never like shitting on them because they have a terrible job and it's not their fault. They didn't write the regs.
That's true. They have a terrible job and there's so many of them and they don't. Ugh, I hate going to the airport.
No, I still have no problem making fun of them. I don't want any of them to be hurt and I'm not rude to them, but I don't have any problem making fun of them. So there you go. Let's start out with a little quiz.
Little quiz.
That's not what she said. It's seven quotes you may be getting wrong.
Oh.
So let's start. The first one. You can always count on the ability. You can always count on the American people to do the right thing after they have exhausted all other possibilities. Was that Abba Ibon, Winston Churchill, Mark Twain, or H.L. Mencken?
I've never even heard that before.
Churchill?
So.
I would guess Churchill too, but I know it's not the answer.
Or Twain, because I feel like Churchill's too much of a diplomat to say that. I would say Mark Twain because it's really snarky.
Okay. Survey says no.
It says no?
It's wrong. It's not Winston Churchill. It is Abba Ibon.
I don't know who that is.
Abba Ibon.
He's an Israeli diplomat, so Ted, you should have gotten that one.
Well, I knew the answer because I looked it up after the fact. I didn't want to cheat.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Albert Einstein, Rita Mae Brown in Sudden Death, Ben Franklin, or Narcotics Anonymous.
Now that's always attributed to Albert Einstein, so it must be incorrectly so.
Yeah.
So I think it's Ben Franklin.
You know what's funny? I was almost going to joke and just say, isn't that just an NA slogan? And I can't believe that Narcotics Anonymous is one of the choices.
I think that's the answer.
Oh.
So is that your final answer?
I'm going to go with that, even though they probably didn't invent it, but they sure say it a lot.
Ted, what do you say?
I was guessing Ben Franklin.
All right. The answer is... Narcotics Anonymous.
Oh, woo woo!
You know your NA, baby. Good job.
I do know my NA.
here's one that irritates me when I see it on a bumper sticker.
Because it's not hyphenated?
Well-behaved women seldom make history.
You're right. It should be well-behaved women. That is really annoying. Jesus.
Was it Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, Mae West, Marilyn Monroe, or Hillary Clinton?
It was either Mae West or Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, I imagine.
I think it's the first one.
Yeah, I got to guess the first one, too.
I honestly don't know. I'll say I've seen it attributed to Mae West, but that could be wrong.
I've seen it attributed to Marilyn Monroe, so I don't think that's true.
It's not Clinton.
All right.
Yeah.
No, it's been around longer than Hillary Clinton. It is Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, who was a grad student at the University of New Hampshire when she coined the phrase in an academic paper in the journal American Quarterly. It was later the title of her 1976 book.
Well done, lady. Hope you hyphenate.
You know what drives me nuts?
What's that?
Bad punctuation.
When people post false quotes online or like misattributed quotes, and then you tell them, they're like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the meaning. It's still really important. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's false. It's totally false.
I'm
you should take
you.
It down.
If you
should not perpetuate fucking incorrect information. You can't just say, yeah, it's totally, it makes sense.
I know.
It's totally heartwarming. Well, yeah, but who gives it? The only reason you posted it because you were like, wow, Albert Einstein, he's so wise.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Here's the problem, though. If I'm to believe everything I read on Facebook, Marilyn Monroe was like Socrates.
So was, like, lately there's been a lot of Einstein ones going around that are incorrect.
Right.
Bill Cosby's really
something
racist,
about,
by the way.
Was it the Einstein one that's like the tree, the fish, tell a fish to climb a tree and he'll live his whole life thinking he's stupid or something. And like, that's not Einstein. But they're trying to get stuff comes like popular, like people are
so
complaining
weird
about Common Core and testing scenarios and whatever. And
yeah, blame the internet.
I hate it.
God made beer because he loves us and he wants us to be happy. Was that Ben Franklin, Homer Simpson, Beverage World, or John Bluto Blutarski from Animal House?
Oh.
Ben Franklin.
Ted, what say you?
I'm going with Bluto.
Okay.
Sure, Ben Franklin.
It is widely attributed to Ben Franklin, but that is wrong.
Wrong.
It's actually Beverage World.
Yay.
Ben Franklin wrote, "Behold the rain which descends from heaven upon our vineyards and which incorporates itself with the grapes to be changed into wine, a constant proof that God loves us and loves us to be happy." But in fact, it was a 1996 magazine, Beverage World, that subbed beer for wine.
Close enough. They're practically the same quote.
Here's a government one Christiana should get this one. The government is best when it governs least. Was that Reagan, Ron Paul, Thomas Jefferson, or Henry David Thoreau?
I'm going to guess TJ for no reason.
I feel like I've heard it attributed to Thomas Jefferson, but I don't know.
Oh, then it's probably not him.
Okay.
It's either Reagan or Thoreau. I don't know.
Which would you like to guess?
Reagan.
Okay. So we have two Jeffersons and a Ronald Reagan. So let's see. It was not. It was Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, should have guessed the other one.
Yeah, the wild card in
there.
Always
go with your first choice.
Jefferson is often credited with the popular conservative expression, but it appears in the first paragraph of Thoreau's 1849 Civil Disobedience.
You know what's funny? I've been to Walden Pond, and it is a massively popular like tourist destination. Like, the little beach is packed with people. Mm-hmm. It's a park, and I just think, that's just not what he meant.
No.
No.
By the way, I've never found anything more boring than the writing of Henry David Thoreau.
Except going to see his little Walden place.
I would never go there.
It's pretty. But...
Next quote. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us.
Iron Man.
This one is always attributed to Nelson Mandela.
That is choice A. Is it Nelson Mandela?
No.
John F. Kennedy?
Probably not.
Albus Dumbledore?
Seriously not.
Or Marianne Williamson?
It's Marianne Williamson.
I'll go with that too.
And Nelson Mandela quoted her.
That's yes, what Becca said.
Okay.
Not because I know.
Because it's
that is correct. It is attributed to Nelson Mandela's 94 inaugural address, but it comes from Williamson's 92 book, A Return to Love. She was the co-founder of the Peace Alliance grassroots campaign that supports a federal Department of Peace.
Aw, that's a nice idea. But...
And finally...
And she's actually running for Congress now, y'all.
Where?
Ooh.
I'm not sure. I should look that up. I just know that because she's like this new age speaker and all of a sudden it's like Marianne Williamson is running for Congress. And I'm like, what? That's so weird.
What state would be likely? I feel like it's going to be something northeastern or Florida.
Can you Google it, Ted?
I can Google a lot of things.
And our final quote, when I was younger, I could remember anything, whether it happened or not. Was that Mark Twain, Ben Franklin, Yogi Berra, or David Rossi?
I have no idea on that one.
It sounds Twain-y to me more than anything.
Yogi Berra, just to pick something different. I have no idea.
You have to pick one.
I said, oh.
No, not you. You picked one.
Yeah, it's true, I did.
You did?
But I just want to...
Let's argue about it, Ted. You were right.
Yes, I was right.
Becca, what do you think?
I honestly have no compass on this one. I'll just be surprised.
Just pick one.
I forgot who all the people are. Just, it's okay. Just, it doesn't matter.
Twain, Franklin, Berra, or Rossi?
Twain. I don't know.
All right.
Sell out.
That is right, is Mark Twain. In season 6, episode 3 of Criminal Minds, the fictional character David Rossi, a special agent at the Behavioral Analysis Unit at Quantico, correctly references the famous Mark Twain quote.
Yay.
So there you go. Those are
That question had a Sacramento connection since it referenced Criminal Minds.
And Mark Twain also has a Sacramento connection.
Yeah,
he used
course.
To write for River the Sacramento books. Union
mm.
in the 1800s.
Well.
Speaking of Sacramento connections, there's a new cleaning service in town.
Yay.
It's called Keeping It Dirty Cleaning.
Hot.
It is. Their slogan, house cleaning is sexy again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. Regular house cleaners are boring.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Keep It Dirty Cleaning brings a new fun dynamic to the cleaning industry. How exciting would you be to have a near-nude maid in a thong twerking her assets and cleaning your home in the same damn time?
That's what it says?
This isn't a new thing. Like, I mean, haven't sexy cleaners been around forever?
Not in Sacramento.
The trope of the sexy cleaner. I'm not your actual sexy cleaner.
Twerking while she cleans? Mm-hmm. Or he cleans?
Twerking her assets.
I don't think there's a dude.
There could be.
There better be.
I would think some gay men might hire a sexy gay man cleaner. Or?
Keep It Dirty cleaning maids are near nude, classy, and professional.
Oh, what a winning combination.
Our maids provide house cleaning and an amazing view that will keep you from wanting to do your own chores again.
I don't want to do them anyway.
There you go. Schedule us during busy work or school day when cleaning is the last thing on your mind. Send one or more of our near nude maids as a gift to that special someone who just needs a break at a clean home.
It's like that scene out of Ferris Bueller.
Oh, I think we
feel like near nude maid and classy and professional, that there's like an oxymoron in there somewhere. Like that just, I mean, yes, maybe professional, and yes, maybe nearly nude, but not also classy. Like, you can't have all three of those things.
Ooh. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Then they list the service areas, and then finally...
Which are everywhere, including Eureka.
All over Northern California. Keep It Dirty Cleaning offers a fun, sexy twist in house cleaning, parenthetical, almost nude house cleaners with a splash of adult entertainment. Close parenthetical.
But what are you supposed to do? Just watch them clean? Like, yes. Follow them around from room to room and stare at them while they clean?
And
that seems awkward for everyone.
Handler,
I don't know. Let's
right?
see
like
if it's.
Stripper?
Let's
I would hope so.
Let's see if it's. Let's see if there's something in the frequently asked questions about that, Becca. Since you asked,
is this for real?
First question: is Keep It Dirty Cleaning an escort, sex, or massage service?
No, of course not.
No,
never.
No.
Not unless you tip.
They're there
well.
To clean.
Just the tip.
Right. Question. I'm a little embarrassed. Will this remain discreet? First of all, don't be embarrassed. Everyone's needs their home or office cleaned while you... Okay.
That's not
by someone in a thong.
Jeez, Louise.
Seriously, I would love to see this. I would love to see them come into my workplace to clean.
Surprise.
That would be hilarious.
Oh, yeah, or office. Yeah. Oh, no, that's terrible.
Or office. Having completed my mandatory 2 hours of California harassment training...
I feel like Rob Ford is going to hire these people immediately.
Yeah, how do these people get insurance? Like, they are just, there's so many, the liability issues alone.
Seems hazardous, the chemicals sloshing around on your skin.
Yeah, ammonia and the wrong, yeah.
Maybe they use all natural stuff.
How should I behave during my appointment?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Appropriately.
Well, this is your time to relax, enjoy some downtime, and watch the view.
I feel weird watching someone clean my house.
Respect your sexy house cleaner and you'll have a memorable experience.
Respect your sexy house cleaner.
I always felt weird about that too. For like a minute when I lived with Ted, we had a house cleaner because Ted had one before I moved in and now it's me. But
he's shaking his head no and yes.
He's like, no, the house is not as clean as it used to be. But we had a house cleaner and I always felt so weird. Like, she'd come over and I'd be like, okay, I'm leaving, I need to go shopping while you clean the house or whatever. And I just felt so weird every time. Like, I don't know. But it's worse to be home and like watch her clean. Like, what am I doing? Why aren't I cleaning my house? I don't know. I couldn't handle it.
Because it's no fun.
You're supporting the economy.
Here's the one thing that I found weird about the whole thing. What form of payment do you accept? We only accept payment in the form of PayPal. What sort of business only works on the PayPal model?
You do cash? No, just PayPal.
Just PayPal.
That's ridiculous.
I understand you want to get paid up front, but PayPal only seems weird to me.
That is really odd.
Do you want to know where this lady is running for?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
California's, not a naked person. This is
Marianne
Williamson running for California's 33rd Congressional District. I don't know where that is.
Central Coast?
Joining fellow candidate Brent Bosky in the race against Representative Henry Waxman. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah. Oops. You don't know who Henry Waxman is?
I know who he is. I just don't know where he is.
Yeah. He is a super, super prominent, long-term serving congressman in the Valley in L.A.,
yeah,
and he was in a terrible primary battle because of redistricting with Howard Berman, and they had both been Brad Sherman.
Doesn't matter.
I can't remember.
Matters
anyway.
Not.
Two titans of the congressional delegation, the California delegation.
Hey,
went at it. This woman has not a fucking prayer in the world.
She attended Pomona College in Claremont, California.
Well, she's a fucking stagehand too. Awesome for her. Puck Pomona. Sorry, they're our rivals.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a joke to anybody who they're cool. They're cool enough.
I thought Claremont was Claremont.
No, they're different colleges.
Come on,
Ted. Different school.
God.
They are sagehens.
Oh.
I know. I have a lot to learn about life, the universe, and Waxman.
It's true. Hey, Kanye West debuted his sexy music video for Bound 2.
On Ellen, no less.
Starring Kim Kardashian.
It was really weird. The whole thing was weird. Like Ellen's like, oh, yeah, it was a video.
I know this is an audio podcast, but I'm going to play this for as long as I can handle it and take a listen. This is Ellen.
So much anticipation. No one has seen this video yet. Everybody's like, oh, I heard Kim was naked in it. And that like people are just like talking about the video. So we'll all see the video for the very first time right now.
Ted has already removed his headphones in advance.
I would if I could.
The first part is actually all right.
Well, oh, yeah.
Until the samples kick in.
Well, yeah.
It's and this, a series of t-shirts, isn't it?
It is.
A bad t-shirt
it is,
design?
Yes.
Is it legit like that?
With a green screen motorcycle ride on top.
In this part, before you hear Kanye come in, this part's fine.
Yeah, this part's fine. And,
you can describe what was happening.
And his rapping is not terrible, but it doesn't go with the song. And the sample is so disjointed.
All right. Such a bizarre video. Uh-huh, honey. Autumn blame and you know it now. When the real will hold you down, you're supposed to drown.
Uh-huh, honey. What you doing in the club on a Thursday? Okay, that's all I can handle with that.
What's happening? Is Kim in it?
Yes.
She is in
She's
it.
The one on the motorcycle.
That's
She's,
not her.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Her.
What, at one point did they film it? Way before she even got pregnant? Like how long? No, seriously.
No.
I mean, no, that's not her body right
she's
now.
She's really super thin. Oh. Yeah, that's true. Because she's been walking around town in very, very busty see-through tops. And it's true. She has much larger boobs at the moment. Brad reputation. I turned the nightclub out of the
basement. I turned the plane around. You keep complaining. And that's the edited version. The actual unedited version of the song is much, much worse. It's awful. And then somebody said, the thing that came out today was the shot for shot, or not today, but earlier this week, today when we're recording this, the shot for shot remake that James Franco did with Seth Rogen. And Seth Rogen, James Franco. Here we go. That's the only place where I heard the uncensored version of the whole thing. And they're calling it Bound 3 because it was Bound 2. They're
Bound
doing,
to make you sick.
Yeah, they're doing a movie called The Interview. And then it's shot for shot, so it's the exact same thing. So we'll skip ahead to the uncensored lyrics.
It's a little bit different. It's like different Desert Breeze. All the mother niggas lame and you know it now. When a real nigga hold you down, you're supposed to drown. Bam. It is less disjointed without the blurring, the fuzzing of words or bleeping of words. Uh-huh,
honey. Yeah, well, yeah. You want to get your N-words in, yeah.
Yeah. She said she only here for a girl birthday. They order champagne but still look thirsty. Rock forever 21 but just turned 30. I know I got a bad reputation. Walk around always mad reputation. Leave a pretty girl sad reputation. Start a fight. It doesn't make for great radio.
Did he just...
But his face is... But Rogan's face is adorable.
Did he... rhyme the word reputation 3 times in a row?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good
not really rhyming.
This song should be put into a paper bag, lit a fire, and put on a rival's doorstep. I'll let you do the math as to what I think of this song.
It's explosive and fiery. Passionate, that's what you're saying?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
You'll get it on your shoe when you stomp it out. So let's move on. And I apologize for if I mispronounce this lady's name. She's an architect. Her name is Zaha Hadid. She's the world's best-known female architect. So, again, I apologize if I pronounced her name wrong. She's not really pleased with people like Jon Stewart, who have mocked her new stadium, which was designed with AECOM for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, and likened her to the, quote, Georgia O'Keeffe of things you can walk inside. She says, quote, it's really embarrassing that they come up with nonsense like this. What are they saying? Everything with a hole in it is a vagina? That's ridiculous. Christiana, what does that look like to you? I mean, come on.
It, yeah.
Yeah, and
I mean, orchid, a flower.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It looks like musculature. How about that? It looks like
it's not a vagina.
Somebody's muscles.
Yeah, they're vaginal muscles. They're labia majora and minora is what it looks like.
Where's the picture?
It's
not coming on my phone. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's not your fault.
So anyway, she's fired back, but good for her. I mean, it's nice to see women architects being called upon to design huge, massive stadiums in places where they're not necessarily. What I find odd is in places like Qatar, women aren't really necessarily considered equal with men.
I don't know enough about Qatar to.
Well, that part of the world.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it varies a lot
by nation.
Yeah. So, like a lot by nation. Certainly, so I don't know enough about Qatar to consign their women to.
Certainly, in neighboring Saudi Arabia, it's a little different.
Yeah,
it's an impressive looking stadium. But it's got kind of a interesting look about it.
I think a lot of male architects design buildings look like penises, technically. So.
And that was, if you saw the thing on the Daily Show, that was the counterman to that.
Oh, okay.
You know, male architects, and then they showed like the Empire State Building and what was the Sears Tower, whatever it's called now.
Freedom Towers.
Sears Tower.
It's not the
I don't care. It's still the Sears Tower.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. Just outside Detroit, a strip club entrepreneur named Alan Markovitz, so he might be one of yours, Ted, he's going through a divorce, and he bought the house next door.
Like a human being? Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I mean Jewish.
Oh, okay.
He's put a sculpture out on the front lawn, or I'm sorry, in his back deck. It's a sculpture of a hand flipping the bird, and it's pointed toward the windows of his ex-wife.
Oh, my people don't do good things all the time.
No, there are bad people from every walk of life. I love the picture of him too. It's on BuzzFeed. And Christiana, can you see this guy?
Hey, that's what his face is.
He looks like an extra from Boogie Nights.
Yeah,
he's got the mustache, the hair. I mean,
extra from the later part of Boogie Nights, when the career has gone down and everything is in the shitter.
Yeah, it's from a rough day. Anyway, they'd been married for 2 years, and he is an author too. The Topless Prophet: The True Story of America's Most Successful Gentleman's Club Entrepreneur. He lives
an autobiography.
Yeah,
he looks like he's on so many drugs. Sure in this picture.
And then and he lights it up too, so that she can see it at night, which is awesome too.
What a dick.
He claims he has a good reason for erecting the massive epithet. He says the man living next door had an affair with his ex-wife while they were still together. So he has his reasons. The 59-year-old who is starring in HBO's upcoming reality show Topless Prophet is a well-known character around Detroit, from opening strip clubs on Detroit's 8 Mile to being shot twice, once in the face. That would probably explain the look. Look for him on HBO.
Look at it. He says his daughter, he has a wife and daughter who can see the sculpture from the back window. His daughter's living there, and he has this big middle finger.
It's a seven. Well, she's 17 or 18 years old.
Even so, come on, dude. You fucking get over it, move on with your pathetic life. And
well, I understand. I'm just pointing out that she's not like a 6-year old.
Even so, she's.
In another article I read, the daughter was quoted as saying, like, Dad, get over it.
Yeah, pretty much. Douche.
Take a little time and let it go.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's
curious whether they had to custom order that gigantic flip the bird sculpture or
Sky
if there's
Mall.
Some of the, yeah, that just makes those.
It's on Sky Mall
for all your flipping the bird needs.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's on Sky Mall, so you can just go ahead and get it. It's right next to the Bob T-shirts and the inflatable things that you sleep with.
Pillows?
Yeah, inflatable pillows.
Inflatable dolls?
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
Yeah,
not yum. I don't know.
Okay. It's time for Cooler Tool.
Old school.
Yeah, old school's Cooler Tool. Hey, first up in Cooler Tool, Kanye's new song.
Cool.
Becca?
Tool.
It's Tool. I'm sorry, Kanye. I know you're a lyrical genius.
Christiana?
Tool. It just seems like he phoned it in a little. I expect more.
He went to the mall and made a video.
I don't think he's that talented, and I prefer this song to that song. So, yeah, Tool. Up next in Cooler Tool, Vagina Stadiums. Vagina Stadiums. Becca.
Cool. Bring them on.
Christiana.
I guess Yeah, cool. Because there should be more vaginas in public.
Ted?
Yeah, why not? I have nothing against vaginal stadiums.
Yeah, I'm in favor. It's better than those damn bird's nest stadiums the Chinese keep building.
Yeah.
That's right, I went there.
For those butthole stadiums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah. They want so, a butthole stadium.
So cramped. Stinky. I don't know. I'm going to move on.
And finally, in cooler tool, sculptures. Sculptures. Christiana.
Sculptures generally are cool. Maybe that one, not so much.
Ted?
That's pretty much my assessment. Sculptures, fine. Petty ones next to your ex-wife and daughter, not so fine.
Becca?
Yeah, ditto.
You know, I'm going to go on the other side of this one because I think that is that is just sort of awesome. It crosses over the line. It's so douchey, it's cool.
No.
Just like being so bad, it's good.
Like, I try so hard when I'm holding a grudge against someone to eradicate that grudge and find forgiveness. And
he doesn't.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be angry and make it a permanent fixture in
and
my
make
life.
It, yeah, and spend money and build a giant sculpture
really
and move next to someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's so outside of... It's so in the opposite direction of what it takes to be a good, open-hearted human being that I can barely fathom it. There's nothing cool about it.
Oh, no, it is. It's so cool. Think of it this way. Maybe just for a moment.
No.
The sculpture, the sculpture is angry all the time, so he doesn't have to be.
That's a theory that you said. I agree with the words that you said, that they are words.
They are in fact words. Can't argue with
Beyond
that.
Beyond that, I don't agree. Anyway.
Well, I think he has the fine makings of a reality show star.
Oh, man.
That's all I'm going to say.
What reality is he living in?
Opening a strip club on 8 Mile. That reality.
I guess I'm just a little jealous.
Yeah, well, you should be. So, anyway, that's cooler tool for this time. We'll move on with the show now. But that Kanye song, good Christ.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Oh, I thought to rob reputation.
Oh, my God.
Please don't ever
with
make that
reputation.
Sound again.
Reputation.
Your reputation.
No, I got a bad reputation.
That's worse
talking
than...
Talking about my mad reputation. Is a reputation. Vacation. I'm sorry, Kanye. I want to love you.
This song gives me consternation.
He was lacking inspiration.
Yeah, it reminds me of the time that Kid Rock rhymed things with things, but he only did it twice. he rhymed things with things,
we
and then he moved.
We were trying different things. We were smoking funny things.
There's the explanation right there. He was smoking weed.
Right.
So, moving on with the show. Hey, what do the Bible, The Hunger Games, and 50 Shades of Grey all have in common?
Sex?
Torture?
Fair. Also, there are three works of fiction according to the booksellers at Costco.
Oh, Costco.
Pastor Caleb Kaltenbach made that shocking discovery last Friday.
I've only ever seen one picture that goes with the story that clearly has one sticker over another sticker. So I still want to see photographic proof that this was like a field of them.
Well, anyway, he was shopping for a present for his wife at the Costco in Simi Valley. All the Bibles were labeled as fiction, the pastor told me. It seemed bizarre to me. Kaltenbach is the lead pastor at Discovery Church, which is a non-denominational Christian congregation in Southern California. He thought there must be some sort of mistake, so he scoured the shelf for other Bibles. Every copy was plastered with a sticker that read $14.99 fiction.
Plastered?
Didn't happen.
Plastered? Really?
Where is it normally filed at a bookstore? Is under just like, don't they just have a section called religious?
Spirituality.
Sidestep either one, right? They just give it its own genre.
Why are they selling
about it?
Bibles in Costco anyway?
Because they sell a bunch
of
books there.
A lot of people buy them. It's
common.
Sorry.
The pastor knew something must be amiss, so he set off in search of a Costco employee hoping for an answer. Unfortunately, he couldn't find anyone willing to answer his question.
Willing to answer his question. This is by a Fox News contributor, by the way.
They probably said, I don't know why.
Which is not all that surprising if you've shopped at Costco. Actually, it is kind of surprising because normally Costco employees are pretty helpful.
Costco's a good
Yeah. Since no one at the store was willing to offer assistance, the good shepherd of the Discovery Church snapped a photograph of the Bible and tweeted it to his flock. People are pretty shocked and upset, he told me. We are supposed to be living in an era of tolerance, but what Costco did doesn't seem too tolerant. I doubt they would label the Quran as fiction, Pastor Kaltenbach said. Heaven help us if they did.
What? Oh, my God. It's so stupid.
If they don't believe in the Bible, that's fine, but at least label it as religion, as some bookstores do, or as inspiration. So does the wholesale warehouse store that sells laundry detergent by the gallon have a problem with the Word of God? By the way, everybody sells it by the gallon. Everybody. I called Costco headquarters in Issaquah, Washington, hoping to get answers. The nice lady who answered the phone told me she was aware of the issue and chalked it up to human error at the warehouse. It's all fixed, she said. But actually, it's not fixed.
Oh, God.
Because there's a boatload of Bibles in the Simi Valley store still marked as fiction.
They should return them all and recall them.
Maybe
and relabel them.
The boat is an ark. Oddly enough. At that point, it's a Noah's Ark joke. At that point, the lady on the phone became not so nice and promptly informed me that Costco doesn't talk to the press. Nothing to report, she said curtly. With all due respect, perhaps they should leave the reporting to the professionals, as we'll leave the bulk purchases of toilet paper to Costco.
What are you talking about? They don't purchase them, they sell them.
Pastor Kaltenbach said he's not one to speak out on such slights. Except for when he is. But seeing the good book labeled as fiction was a bit too much to take. On the one hand, Christians should not yell out persecution, he said. We aren't living in Iraq or Iran, but on the other hand, I believe that we do need to stand up for our faith, and we do need to be vocal about our concerns. That's a message that resonates with the pastor and author Robert Jeffress. Let's hope Costco's explanation is true and not just the result of having been caught attempting to marginalize the very foundation of Christian beliefs in the Bible.
Which is a far more likely scenario.
Yeah, I'm sure that's their mission as a grocery store.
Christians need to call out organizations like Costco whose actions undermine Christianity. Regardless of whether those actions are accidental or intentional. Now, Stephen Smith of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, so you know this is going to be good, said the fiction label identifies the thinking of the labeler more than the content of the book. To label the Bible fiction is a practical front for an ideological foundation that assumes spiritual or unreal. What is odd about this choice is the glut of books in the religion and spirituality sections in mainstream bookstores. However, as large as spirituality sections are, there must not be any room for Christianity. Modern thinking on spirituality is too exclusive to allow for the Bible. Of course, the entire episode could have been cleared up had a Costco employee simply answered his question. And that's the gospel truth.
You aren't.
This story doesn't bother me that much, but it is very entertaining to watch Ted slowly dissolve to a puddle of pure, pure frustration.
And anger.
It makes me frustrated. Did you know? I know I'm excited about it.
I just feel like it's, I don't know, like we're splitting hairs. Like there's stuff in the Bible. Okay, well, nothing in the Bible is journalistically reported fact from the scene at the time. Like at best, it's all a historical recollection.
How dare you undermine Christianity?
And then there's plenty of things in there that are creative writing, that are beautiful poetry. Like, I don't know. I don't think fiction is necessarily a misnomer. And I don't think that just because something is mythological or is a creative representation of something, like that undermines the truth and the faith that people find in it. I don't know. I just feel like all of this is just, it's just I want to say much ado about nothing, but why would I be quoting Shakespeare? That's ridiculous.
It bothers me because I mean, it's obviously just trying to get people pissed off, myself included, but I'm not his target audience. But just, it was a mistake. It was a printing error at Costco. And just, why is it such a big issue that we have to get all fired up about it?
Why?
And tweet about it and just think that Costco's trying to bring down Catholic or Christianity or something.
It's all a plot by Sam's Club.
I know, I had a conspiracy theory because you know how a lot of the press lately has been like, Walmart is awful to its employees, McDonald's is awful to its employees, Costco is really good to their employees, and I almost wondered if this wasn't...
The Waltons are like, we're going to get you.
Yeah, like, we're gonna do this thing, so everyone's like, plot. Costco's terrible, you know?
It's not going to stick.
Conspiracy theory bullshit.
You can still get you know, dollar hot dog there at lunchtime, so they're always going to win.
It's true.
I don't know. Like, Ted?
Yes.
Is the Torah fiction?
Yes, it's fiction. I mean, Bible and the Torah are kind of, you know.
Yes, they are.
They have a lot of chapters in common, I think.
And the does it still have meaning?
No, it has no meaning. No, of course it has meaning. But, I mean, it's just not even calling it fiction. That's the thing. It's a misprint. It wasn't, like, any intentional fictional.
Yeah, and it's a categorization too. If you're going and looking for the Bible, a sticker on the outside of it that says fiction isn't going to make it be not real for you.
Right. Like, I thought I was a Christian, but then I saw this sticker and now I need to rethink everything.
Maybe it's the devil testing your faith.
Oh.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Huh?
Well, good thing the good shepherd tweeted to his flock to warn them about Satan's sticker.
He was actually only given 5 characters, but then, you know, miraculously he was able to expand it to 140.
Wow.
To really get his message out there.
By the way, if you're not following the tweet of God on Twitter, you should be.
Oh.
Because it's hilarious.
I'm friends with the comment on Facebook,
fictional?
I think.
No, it's really God tweeting. It's crazy.
Be really God tweeting fictional content. I mean, he's got a lot of time. He could write novels. You don't even know. That's what it's gross that God.
No, don't come to the next story. It's gross.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay.
Well, here's a one for our category. Is this a
Word
thing?
Of God's gross.
Funeral selfies. Yes, they do exist.
We skipped, but I thought it was gross.
Yeah, sorry, that story went
funeral
away.
Funeral selfies are also gross.
Mm. Yeah, that is gross.
Yeah. Funeral. The ceremonies honoring a dead person, typically involving burial or cremation.
Oh, is that what a funeral is?
Selfie. A photo.
I feel like these are super. This is like. Old story that had a BuzzFeed thing and then got back into the world. I don't know how.
Mm-hmm. A selfie is a photograph that one has taken of oneself, typically with a smartphone or webcam, uploaded to social media. Together, they make a funeral selfie, a new trend taking over the internet.
Nope,
not a thing.
It is not, in fact, taking over the internet. But thank you.
The internet still belongs to cats.
Right.
Yeah, it's still porn and sports scores. But thank you, KCTV, News 5's Kansas City, for trying that.
Over the internet.
It's actually from CNN. But anyway.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're done with that one. Anyway, someone.
Get to the good stuff.
Someone in Shelton, Connecticut, apparently. Has a suspect in the theft of a David Hasselhoff sign from a Cumberland Farms. The injured a clerk trying to stop it has entered a not guilty plea. The Valley Independent Sentinel reports that Adam Holter, who's 19, of Milford, told police a day after the August incident that he didn't know the store clerk who tried to stop him had been injured seriously during the theft until he saw news reports. He pleaded not guilty to charges of second-degree assault and second-degree reckless endangerment. He entered the plea in Superior Court last week and is due in court on December 16th. He's free on bond. He came forward identifying himself as the driver of the car involved in the theft a day after it happened, telling investigators he thought stealing the sign would be a funny prank. But it became sick to his stomach when he saw news reports saying the clerk had been seriously hurt. So it was a dumb thing to do, but, you know, turning himself in was the right thing to do.
Right.
And it's a poster, an outdoor poster of David Hasselhoff in a tank top holding a Cumberland Farms iced coffee. When the sign says thirsty, farmhouse blend iced coffee, any size, 99 cents.
So you can't blame him for stealing that.
No.
I guess.
David Hasselhoff.
It would go great in your dorm room.
In a tank top.
I feel bad for the clerk.
You mean living room?
I almost feel like the lesson is just like, don't try so hard at your clerk job. Like, I feel so bad. He got hurt so above and beyond. I mean, he was like in a coma, right? Like, he's so damaged. Yeah. And I just feel so bad. Like, he was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But I have a question. I have the same question that Ted asked when we passed this story around online. And now that Christiane is here, maybe she can give me a more satisfactory answer because I'm still confused. This guy says he did it. He went and turned himself into the police, and he's pleading not guilty. How does that work?
Is it the specific charges that he's pleading not guilty to, do you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be the specific. It could be whatever they charged him. It could be a way to get them into a plea deal. I don't know what the court rules are there. If
he went
guilty, he might have to do something different. But it's not the...
It's confusing to me.
Never mistake the justice system as something designed to get you to the truth of a situation. The only thing it can guarantee you is a fair process. It has shit all to do with truth or justice.
Right.
So, and but it doesn't even get you the fair process most of the time. But it gets you, it gets you a standing set of rules that you can follow.
Well, and I think,
and there's ways to do it, and there's plenty of people who plead out stuff that they're not actually guilty of, and you sometimes take the deal because it's better, and So.
Well, in this case, I think what it is, the argument is that he was intending to steal a sign as a prank. He never had any intention of hurting anybody, and as soon as he found out somebody was hurt, he turned himself in to sort of reiterate the fact that he didn't have any intention of doing that. And they're charging him as if he had gone in and basically pistol whipped
the
guy.
What were the charges? I can't remember. Was it assault? Or?
It was. It was like second degree assault.
Yeah. I mean, depending on what the... If it's felony level stuff, there's probably a...
Oh, I see.
If you've ever watched Legally Blonde, there's a mens rea or... Mm-hmm. The state of mind matters in criminal charges. And so if he's saying, yes, I did X, Y, Z, but it's not what you, like, these factual events occurred. I took the sign. The clerk was injured, like, blah, blah, blah. But that the legal conclusion you draw from that can be very different depending on how you, because there's no fucking truth, you guys. It's a downer of the world. That's why I hate my profession.
There's no truth.
There's the events you saw, the events you saw, the events he saw, the events I saw. I don't know.
Yeah, we could get very...
That's about it.
The Bible's true.
Very, very deep on this one, too, if you wanted to go to a fully physiological place with this whole thing. We're not going to, but we could. That's a wrong word.
Oh.
I don't know. It's fine.
I wonder if the Hoff will kick down some money to medical expenses for the clerk who so valiantly tried to protect his image.
Hoff is probably calling his agent. Is like, you licensed my picture for what?
Right. What's a Cumberland Farms?
You couldn't have held out for McDonald's?
How much did we get for that? Okay. All right. Oh. Hey, here are the 8 things it's never okay to ask a woman in public.
Oh,
Speaking
boy.
Of things that are absolutes.
Are you pregnant?
Well, we'll see.
When's the baby due?
First one. Shouldn't you be at home with that baby?
Oh, snap.
I don't think anybody asked
that. But you shouldn't.
Not a thing.
Sainsbury, which I believe is a store in England.
Grocery store, yeah.
Yeah, got in trouble for this recently when one of their employees approached a customer, mother of a 6-week-old, Miles, and told her that she, quote, shouldn't be out of the house with a baby this young.
Oh.
It used to be. It still is kind of
in a place like this.
About.
Yeah.
They're not inoculated and...
No.
But you might not have a choice if you're a single mom and have to go to the
totally.
Store.
No, totally. I agree, but I mean.
Yeah. Number 2, are you sure you want that glass of wine? You may not have noticed that you're pregnant.
You may not have noticed that you're pregnant.
Let's sort of change the things, the sort of scope of things you should never ask a woman in public or anywhere. Number 3, spit or swallow.
You mean when I'm wine tasting? No. I can answer that, no problem.
Number 4, and this, obviously I'm going to read this in a British accent because this is the way it should be read with this front sentence. Want to sit on my face, love?
Nope, not a thing.
Well, it is a thing.
It's a question you can ask.
These are things that people ask
women
in public.
That's a Rob Ford thing.
Are you on your period or something? And or are you feeling hormonal?
Yes.
That's
I would agree. That is something
that's
said and that should not be said.
Number 6. Why don't you put them away, love?
What does that even mean?
Well, this
the
question.
Girls.
Yeah, this question is clearly rhetorical. Oh. So the answer is because they're my tits, not yours.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I guess maybe it's who's breastfeeding.
In that same vein, what's your bra size?
Well, if you're a clerk at a laundry
store.
God,
if I could answer that question, that's like a moving target.
I know, right? I have no idea. I'm pretty sure all my bras are wrong.
I'm the wrong size right now.
Q, L.
And finally,
Z.
What are you doing here? She may be a woman in a hardware store / at a scientist conference / in the MP's lift at the House of Commons, but it's just because she doesn't look like your narrow idea of a plumber, politician, or IT technician doesn't mean that she isn't one.
Wow. If I asked that to Elaine, she got mad at me. I'd be upset. So what are you doing here? How dare you?
By the way, Ted, the tag on this article, feminism.
It's funny because I feel like the one that you said, Ted, like when does the baby due or are you pregnant? Like that is a real useful one that people should know not to ask. Mm-hmm. And also, like, when are you going to have kids another one that I feel like nobody should ask. And I don't know. I feel like those were just like weird, like, not even things that people really say, and there's actually some really hurtful and damaging things.
Have you been to a bar lately? I'm pretty sure a lot of those get asked on a regular basis.
Really? Nobody walks around and is like, sit on my face, love, spit or swallow. Like, nobody does that.
I'm serious.
Maybe, not even at a bar.
Maybe in Vermont they do.
Yeah, maybe. Or is that you, Nate, doing that in the bars?
That's me. It's what I do.
That's the shirt you bought. It was the mustache rides 5 cent ones. Right?
Yes, that's the one. I love it. Is that actually one in Sky Mall? It should be.
No, it's not.
Now that Movember is a thing, that shirt should totally come back.
The mustache ride shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mustache ride for prostate awareness, am I right? Ladies, come on.
I don't know why I don't think mustache. I think mustache ride 5 cents is hilarious. And like almost all other shirts like that, I think are awful. I don't know why. Is it just because it's a classic like from the 60s or 70s or something? I don't know. Like
it's the Instagram filter of T-shirts.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
That warm. Warm glow.
Yeah.
Guess what you're getting for Christmas, honey.
Oh, no. I'm not going to wear what. No, that's different on a lady. Like, let me just grow out my mustache here. And
okay.
I don't think that.
That's something I would add to that list is when you go to, like, if you ever go get your eyebrows done and they're like, are we doing upper lip today? God damn you. Fuck you.
I don't even have
my upper lip done.
Yeah.
Why do you plant that seed? You're a terrible person. Stop trying to upsell me.
I would add that one. Oh, and I'm going to add, because I know you feel me on this one, at the restaurant, like, somebody was hungry when they pick up your plate. Like, that is something that you should never say.
Or when they come to take your plate and there's still all the fries left. Are you finished? No.
Yeah.
My hand is literally on the fries right now.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not finished.
Yeah.
Go to hell.
Wow. You guys should make a new list.
Did you eat that whole thing?
Oh, I hate that.
Are you pregnant?
I could never finish that.
Fuck off.
I think I also don't like when people are like, oh, the thing you're wearing. I could never wear anything like that, but it works on you. Like this weird kind of like backhanded thing.
Wow. Yeah.
Something like that would just make me look terrible. But you know, you look all right in it. It's like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things guys never say to each other.
I think we need to rewrite this whole list.
Yeah.
Well, what are things that you shouldn't say to guys? Like, what are things that people say?
Is that all there is?
That was the list. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing you never say to guys. Is that all there is?
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Oh, you're a shower.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that would be bad. That would be bad.
Terrible, right?
That would be terrible.
Wait, you're not especially even a shower?
Especially if you're a grower. Because that would be like, no, give it a minute. God.
The lake, the water was cold, or was it?
The world's a cold place.
Well, I mean, see, the list overall for women was things that women shouldn't say to other. It was overall, but for guys, it would really be just things you don't want to hear from women. As opposed to, because guys don't say that to other guys. We just tend to ignore each other and punch each other and
hey,
move
Nate,
on.
You show or grower.
I felt weird even though that was a joke. I was like, what? No.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Ted, that mustache is looking pretty thick. That's quite a flavor saver you got there.
Oh, God, I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's right. You like the mustache rods. Anyway, moving on
who
with the show.
Who doesn't? Come on.
That's to be fair, yeah. Speaking of, this is a fun thing. I got sort of distracted on the internet the other day, and I was listening to the Mike O'Mara show, and they brought up the old porn magazine Wii.
Oh, yeah. I remember Wii.
Okay.
I've never heard of that.
It went out of business early 80s.
Oh, Wii.
And basically, Playboy published it for a while, and it was a little bit racier version of Playboy. And then what they wanted to compete with Penthouse, but what they found out was it was taking readers away from Playboy. So they sold the magazine, stopped publishing it, and it came back. And they specialized in celebrity pictorials, and one of them was an 18-year-old Demi Moore, very young Demi Moore. So I, being the curious type, Googled it. And I was so distracted by the mass of pubic hair that Demi Moore had that I could not look at her bare breasts.
I tuned out at the wrong moment. Back in at the wrong moment is what's happened here.
Are you confused now by what's going on?
I'm just not sure. I'm not sure where to jump in with my indignation, but it's coming soon.
Right.
So no, keep going.
Well, no, it was a sign of the times, because that was the thing. But I mean, it was...
Hairstyles change so quickly.
Do you remember Dr. J in the 70s? It was like that. it was so thick.
But I did look at a good number of like my dad's old Playboys and stuff that were out in the shed, and
I've
seen that it wasn't always. We didn't used to, as a culture, want our women to look like prepubescent young girls to find them sexually attractive.
And I think that's a mischaracterization of what's going on. I know that's your narrative, but that's a mischaracterization.
Ooh. I'm all right with it.
I know you are.
Well,
that's fine.
I think there's grooming and tidying that both men and women can do, but then there's just shaving everything off, which I hear what you're saying, but I don't know. Maybe it's a personal grooming choice for, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it is. It is a choice of what you want, but it was just so shocking to see that, because it wasn't just that she had pubic hair. It was that she had so much of it. And it was so.
She had probably like an average amount for.
Oh,
women
I don't.
Didn't, if women didn't go out of their way to landscape the region.
Well, here's what I will say. I don't know how she wrangled that all into a bikini. And the one thing you did not see in that time frame was women on the beach with pubes poking out. Well, you did, but normally no. That was
I don't think you see that now either.
No. Well, of course not now. But I mean,
of course not. Well, no, because all women go. Well,
yeah.
Brazilian.
Well, not
really.
Well, to an extent.
Strip or Dorito chip.
Dorito chip.
I've never heard that one.
No, I haven't either. It was so that was sort of an interesting thing. Just a weird aside that it was just like, oh, Demi Moore. It was that distracting to me. Anyway, there was some insensitivity going on in Portland, Oregon, which is weird because they're very sensitive there. Radio station said they weren't trying to disrespect anyone with the use of a quote on a billboard overlooking Portland's Chinatown, but it happened.
A billboard in Old Town is getting a lot of attention for all the wrong reasons. This is KXL's current billboard at 3rd and Cooch downtown. It reads, quote, we
Cooch?
Love you long time. Since
yeah, it's spelled couch. It's pronounced cooch. I'm not kidding you. Let's listen again.
Reasons. This is KXL's current billboard at 3rd and Cooch downtown. It reads, quote, we love you long time. Since it was installed, many people have called the billboard racist against Asian Americans. Others say putting it up in historic Chinatown was especially poor taste.
Yes.
There's something off base. Off base in, first of all, in terms of the location of the sign. I think in terms of the necessary respect you pay to someone.
The station has issued an apology for the billboard's message, which they say is in reference to a famous rap song.
Yes,
the spokesman says they knew it would get a lot of attention, but they didn't want to disrespect anyone. KXL plans to take down the billboard as soon as possible and replace it with one that says, stay connected, my friends.
It's a sample from a Vietnam movie.
A billboard.
It is.
It's a sample of a prostitute. And it's from
jacket.
Then the and the song they're referencing is Me So Horny. So how are they like, no, it's not offensive, it's not what you think, it's actually Two Live Crew sampling a prostitute.
It's offensive to totally different group,
right?
Vietnam Town.
We weren't trying to reference.
What do we get for $10?
Oh god.
Everything you want. Everything.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing. Lovely songs of our time.
Do you guys remember the South Park when was it Cartman who became an Asian prostitute?
Oh yeah, Saka, yeah.
$5.
Yeah.
Oh god, it was the worst.
He fell off. He had suffered head trauma.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Because he used all their money on crap. All right.
Sadly, this song is catchy.
But what does it have to do with the news and CBS radio news? Like, of all the kinds of...
It's a thing that happened.
Weird to me. No, yeah. I mean, it's weird, like, why they would pick that.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. Like, it's a terrible choice.
What? I mean...
Like, shiny. Somebody floated that at a meeting, and then a whole bunch of people had to be like, I see no problem here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just really surprised. Yeah. I'm really surprised that got through.
Sure, that
although,
would.
I have to say that one of my dear friends often says love you long time to me, like little texts and stuff, and it's really cute, and so I don't know. It works sometimes.
Is it? Or is it racist?
No, hey,
it's time for Florida Corner.
Where is racist.
Where a Fort Pierce woman was pinched by police in a crab leg caper. An early morning burglary report turned into an encounter with a woman grumpy about a missing bag of crab legs. The case of a woman crabby about crab legs began about 12:10 a.m. on October 17th as police went into Georgia Avenue and South 15th Street in Fort Pierce in connection with a possible burglary. An officer spoke with Lisa Matos, who's 52, who said she got home and noticed food was missing. All my fornicating food is gone.
All my fornicating food?
And she's quoted as saying, there's police noted that Matos was intoxicated and used excessive profanity. She said she pays rent by buying food for the household and is very angry due to the missing bag of crab legs. Crab legs are legs of a crab, a crustacean known for pinching.
Are you serious? It explains what crab legs are?
Crab varieties include Dungeness, Blue, Stone, King, and Snow.
What?
With the obligatory Wikipedia cut and paste.
With most crabs processing in rigid exoskeleton. Popular crab dishes include crab Newberg, crab cakes, crab bisque, and boiled crab claws.
You don't have to fill space on the internet. You don't, like in print, you might put all that crap in.
Meanwhile, an officer determined there was no crime.
Okay.
But Matos kept yelling foul language at neighbors and police. As police spoke to her, she went into the home, grabbed a bunch of chicken, and tried to walk away.
A minute. Her crab legs were missing, and they said there was no crime? What?
Quote, I'll fornicating get all of you. This is my fornicating chicken, Matos is quoted as saying. It. Police then cuffed her and put her in a patrol vehicle. She declined to give the name of her name or date of birth, saying, fornicate you.
I like they keep putting fornicate in there.
Because it's newspaper.
Oh, I understand, but
why can't they just say F?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Expletive.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you my name.
The crab legs don't walk away by themselves.
The report didn't state what happened to the bag of crab legs.
Well, geez.
Well, they completely lost focus. They forgot about the crab legs altogether, and they arrested her and her chicken. This is a travesty of justice.
And they didn't define police officer for me, so I'm not sure I understand the story.
A police officer is a person who works for a police department of a municipality. Well, they often wear a badge, and they sometimes carry a gun, unless they're in England.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. we'll keep Florida Corner short.
Called because, Bobby.
Because the show's running late, and you know that's good enough. Back to England for some depressing news. Man loses severed penis after forgetting to take it to the hospital to be sewn back on.
Oh, God, I hate
he
that.
He was probably in shock.
You know, I have a lot of my to-do list, too, so sometimes you just forget things.
Well, yeah, okay. Yang Hu was in agony after severing his manhood from his body and decided to cycle to the hospital to have it reattached.
That's a man.
A penis is a male sexual organ.
But rather than prep him for immediate surgery, doctors told him to get on his bike again and go home because he forgot to bring it with him.
Who put you on a bike without your penis?
Well, Yang from Jiangxing, the Zhangshang province in East China, eventually rode home to pick up his penis. But doctors hit him with even more bad news. It had been without blood for too long and was therefore impossible to reattach.
Where was this again?
China.
It was in China. Oh, Jesus.
The 26-year-old was depressed at his single life since he moved to the city and began long hours at a clothing factory. It's according to his pals, his depression grew so bad that he cut off his penis in a sudden act of haste, believing it would stop him from thinking about finding a lover. No, just thinks about how you cut off your penis. His pals have now blasted at doctors for the hospital for not providing an ambulance for him to go home and collect his penis.
Yeah, you think that's... Yeah.
His private parts could have been saved if he hadn't had to cycle back, taking up valuable time. And not only that, pumping the blood. I mean...
Seriously, I don't understand how you could ride a bike without a penis that you just cut off. I mean,
well, you're not. I mean, at least it's not uncomfortably in the way.
Yeah, you don't need it to steer.
All right, that's you can ride a girl's bike.
Either way,
sad. I don't think
it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
it really is. So even no matter how bad your and non-existent your sex life is, don't cut off your penis.
And if you do, make sure to bring it with you when you bike to the hospital.
Absolutely, when you bike to the hospital, bring it with you. Put it in your fanny pack. That's funny for all the British people. Anyway.
But it's your wanker pack.
Rob also gets a laugh out of anybody named Randy.
Randy.
He's like, why would you do that?
Or Willie. No?
Mostly just Randy.
Oh, damn it.
Sorry.
Rob, it's not your fault,
Sorry.
Rob.
Hey, have we plugged Amazon this show? I forgot.
How about Dick?
Anyway, yeah, please. If you're going to shop Amazon, go through NateDarlingShow.com.
They have a dish called Spotted Dick, and he's laughing at people named Randy.
Yeah, no.
Come on, Nicholson.
It's twisted.
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't say
he gave me a ride home from the airport and let me jumpstart the car, so I'm not going to give him crap.
Now people will be able to track him down.
Well, that's right. He gets a pass this week.
Okay.
Next week.
Next week.
I'll feel. Next week.
No buy for him.
That's right. I'll mock him with... By the way, I was watching a Jason Statham movie, and he said penis, but he said it with the British accent, so it was penis.
Penis.
Penis. So it was funny. Anyway, it's time for Small Town News.
Anything is funny with a British accent.
Penis. From Topsom, Vermont, Vermont State Police are searching for a 3-foot-tall chicken. Police say the chicken's made of fabricated sheet metal was stolen from the doorstep of a home in Topsom on October 6th. The 77-year-old homeowner, who police say collects antiques and odds and ends, told police he wanted to report the theft while he searched for the white, orange, and red bird. Police say the metal chicken is valued at about $125. Anyone with information is asked to call the Vermont State Police Barracks in Bradford at 802-222-4680. So if you find a 3-foot metal chicken, please,
call that number.
Please call it in, because it's important. And there's really nothing else going on. So if you could, that would be great.
People who...
That story went so differently than the one about the missing bag of crab legs. Like, I think, you know, if you're nice to the police officers, you get a write-up in the newspaper. And if you're mean to them and you throw chicken, you end up in their car.
Well, yeah, if you're drunk and yelling fornicating at them, they tend to be less responsive to you.
So the guy who lost his chicken obviously kept it together.
He did. He's 77. He probably knows better. Let's look at the comments on the story, if we can. Let me see if I can find the comments here. There are two.
Two comments. Back-to-back stories about men losing their cocks.
It's terrible.
That's stupid. The worst thing that's been said on this show.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Okay. Dan Bissonette, who's a top commenter, works at Self, says a Vermont-only story, certainly.
Only in Vermont.
And Andrea Kraft, who's a top commenter also, said, oh, still to look for a chicken, but when my car stereo gets stolen twice in 1 month, they won't do anything more than take my statement.
Nate's
lovely.
Like, Nate's like, yeah, I know you feel, because they don't patrol Midtown and my phone got stolen, and I know they weren't anywhere that night ever.
So do I have to be wealthy to get the police to investigate, or what?
Yes.
Help me understand here. Yeah, the 77-year-old guy with the 3-foot metal chicken is probably Nelson Rockefeller.
Those chickens are expensive. We auctioned a 3-foot or so tall, like, metal chicken sculpture, and it was crazy popular with the old highly bidding people, and it went for a lot of money. It was like a $225 metal chicken, so...
Well, this one's valued at $125.
If you got enough money to spend on that kind of chicken, you probably got a lot of expendable
income,
you know?
I have no metal chicken budget, but if I had a metal chicken, I would enjoy it.
Metal chicken budget.
Oh, guess what you're getting for Hanukkah now?
I don't know.
And I'll be wearing a t-shirt that says mustache rise. That's it.
Wow, my Hanukkah keeps getting better and better.
Oh my God, that would be the best thing ever. A metal chicken with a mustache rods t-shirt.
Does the chicken also have a mustache or just the t-shirt?
Oh.
Maybe one of those fake
hipsters.
Like
Waddle Ride.
Ooh,
sounds horrendously
beak
painful.
Bounce,
if you,
5 cents.
Beak bounce.
Dear God,
I don't know.
That's pretty good.
It would be a metal cock in that case.
Oh, I don't know, but I mean, I'm not gonzo. I'm not into dating chickens.
Yeah,
I just thought it would be like a fun garden toy.
Okay, well, you can do whatever you want with it, baby.
Yeah, it's your cock. Rock out with your cock out. Anyway, that's how we're going to end this episode of the Nate Darling Show. It's good to be back, everybody. We'll have new shows again next week for you. I believe next week Christiana is away.
I am. I'm going to Disneyland.
Yeah. Whee! We expect a full report. Diana Hong's sitting in with us next week. So,
fun.
Yeah, she is. She's a blast. She's my favorite Asian lesbian.
Okay.
I don't have a list, but she's at the top of it if I did.
Ooh.
Just saying. Anyway, we'll leave you with this Philip Phillips song because we want to rhyme Philip with Phillips, I guess. It's Gone, Gone, Gone. We'll see you next week with more fun and frivolity on the Nate Darling Show. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.
When you fall like a statue, I'm gonna be there to catch you, put you on your feet, you on your feet. And if your well is empty, not a thing will prevent me. Tell me what you mean, what do you need? I surrender honestly.
would do it for you. You're gone, gone, gone. You're my backbone. You're my cornerstone. You're my crutch when my legs stop moving. You're my head start. You're my rugged heart. You're the pulse that I've always needed. Like a drum, baby, don't stop beating. Like a drum, baby, don't stop beating. Like a drum, baby, don't stop beating. A drum, my heart never stops beating for you. A drum, my heart never stops beating for you. And long after you're gone, 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 I'll love you long after you're gone, gone.